This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, February 21st, 2014. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Later on Ozarks, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com talks about the week in business and politics.
Plus, members of the cast of Good People discuss why audiences connect to the Tony-nominated script. And the Tritones, Ben Harris, Adams Collins, and Drew Packard, sit down with Robert Ginsberg inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play original music.
First, a bill to fund Arkansas's private option narrowly passed in the state Senate yesterday, 27-8. That's exactly the three-fourths majority needed for most appropriations legislation. The debate continued on the Senate floor, where opponent Senator Alan Clark said he believes the program will increase the federal deficit and individuals' dependency on government assistance.
I think this is one of the worst socioeconomic policies in the history of our state that we will live to regret. We have decided that ensuring able-bodied adults, half of whom are 19 to 34, my children's ages, is our highest priority in this state. Half of this new group of able-bodied adults do not work.
State Senator Stephanie Flowers also took to the well to rebut Clark and others speaking against the bill. She said many poor people in the state do not have the opportunities for jobs and health care.
When you speak about the poor and people not working, we live in a poor state. And a lot of the poverty that exists in this state is as a result of the policies that have been established in this body.
While there was optimism, the Senate vote would change the mood in the House. For the third consecutive day, lawmakers in that chamber failed to reach the needed three-fourths margin. Republican Representative Josh Miller argued the private option was rewarding people who didn't work hard enough to pay for their own insurance.
We need our government programs to revert back to the days of the New Deal, when the term was a hand up, not a hand out. As long as the government keeps handing it out, folks are going to keep taking it. Laziness is incentivized, and hard work is penalized.
Democrat John Walker countered Representative Miller, saying he grew up during the New Deal, and the programs existed because the jobs weren't there.
There is this notion that there are people here who are just waiting to get on the public till, who have no interest in work and who are otherwise lazy and do not wish to advance. I say to you that all of you know that we don't have jobs. One of the reasons we are willing to make concessions to Big Steel and other places is to get more jobs, which means that many of the people in the state who cannot get jobs cannot afford health care.
The House is expected to take the measure up again today.
For the first time in at least 20 years, and possibly ever, students in the Fayetteville School District will be going to class on Memorial Day. The district applied for and received a waiver from the Arkansas Department of Education in order to have classes on the federal holiday. Alan Wilburn, Communications Director for Fayetteville Public Schools, says the waiver allows the district to end the school year on June 6th instead of June 10th. Wilburn says scheduling makeup days has been especially difficult this year.
It was a situation we looked at and decided, how can we shorten the year by not going as far as we can into June? We've already, this particular schedule of makeup days has taken away, obviously, a holiday in January with MLK Day. We've gone on a Saturday already. We're going to go on another Saturday. We've taken a parent-teacher conference day, and we've also taken a staff in-service day away and converted those back to student instruction days. So this makeup schedule really is kind of an amalgam of all of that stuff.
Wilburn says district officials felt that having school on Memorial Day was preferred to making up missed school days during the spring break holiday.
Spring break is one of those we try to stay away from at all costs if we can, because so many people make those plans weeks, months in advance, and they have plane tickets, reservations, all that type of situation. And for Memorial Day, we asked for the state for a waiver, since that is a recognized holiday, and every school district in the state does take Memorial Day off if they're still in school at that particular session. So we decided that that would be a more palatable day to take than trying to mess with spring break.
Only students on a traditional learning calendar will be in class on Memorial Day, while schools following a continuous learning calendar are using intersession days to make up the balance of missed instructional days.
Starting next month, more destinations in Rogers will be connected by bus routes. Joel Gardner, executive director of Ozark Regional Transit, says the goal is to increase the footprint of the transit authority's offerings in the city.
Some of the new areas of connectivity are going to be to the Rogers Public Library, the new Rogers Water Park, the new ballparks at the corner of Hudson and Dixieland. So we're really touching many, many, many more areas of the community than what we did before.
He says the new routes are a result of the city giving roughly $80,000 more during this budget year to Ozark Regional Transit with the purpose of expanding public transit in the city. Other new offerings by ORT include a connection from Rogers New Tech High School to Northwest Arkansas Community College in Bentonville and from Mercy Medical Center to the downtown area. Service will also be expanded downtown, including points along Olive and 13th Streets and Sunset Drive. Gardner says consideration of current high transit volume areas and previously unserved areas went into developing the new routes.
First of all, we really did just wipe the map clean of any existing route that we had. And then we said, okay, these are areas of current high transit use, so let's put those back in place. And then we started looking at the other areas that we knew that the city wanted us to touch. And also, from feedback from the community throughout the previous year, knowing that the Rogers Technical High School was going to be working in conjunction with NWAC, wanting to see what we could do about making those connections there. We knew the water park had just opened up, and that would be someplace that people would want to go. And also the fact that we weren't even coming close to the library previously, we wanted to see about touching that also.
Gardner says in the future, the two new routes could be split into two to allow for greater frequency of bus stops.
Mostly clear tonight with lows around 34 degrees. Expect sunny conditions tomorrow with highs near 66 degrees. And tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy skies with a 20% chance of rain after midnight and lows from 39 in northwest Arkansas to 43 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael, how are you on this Friday?
I'm well on this beautiful Friday.
Well, let's talk first about Walmart. Some announcements this week, including a revision of the number of small format stores they plan to open in the future.
Yes, they're doubling the number from a rough estimate of about 150 up to about 300 that they're going to open. And, you know, you don't have to be a retail genius to understand in their last fiscal year, their smaller store formats had comparable sales of increases of around 4%, whereas their traditional stores, their supercenters, their comparable store sales were down, were negative. So if you're Walmart and you have, you know, and you're going to invest a lot of money in building new stores, where are you going to put that money? So, I mean, it's obvious they decided, let's put more of that money where we're getting more of a return. And that it's not that simple. Obviously, there are other factors. But when you looked at their earnings report, and then you saw the announcement of the more smaller store formats, it was not a surprise. And their fiscal year was not, it was not one of their better years. But they still made $16 billion, so that's not. No one should feel sorry for Walmart and its shareholders.
There was a poll this month that indicates something that we kind of know about Arkansas voters, but reinforces the fact that Arkansas voters are tough to categorize. Something of an independent streak.
Yes, they are tough to categorize. And they're even what's interesting is they're even tough to categorize when they categorize themselves. And what I mean by that is, the poll that we pushed out on the City Wire that was conducted by Impact Management Group out of Little Rock. And let's look at one number, and this is a telling, or two numbers. It's 39% of those surveyed self-identified as Democrats. But then later on, a question was asked, if, without mentioning a name, if you're voting in the congressional election today, would you vote for the Republican candidate or the Democrat candidate? And 43%, the majority in this case, said they would vote for the Republican candidate. So think about that. 39% they identify as Democrats, but then 43% said they'd vote for the Republican candidate. So if that doesn't give you an idea of how independent they are and how they're willing to switch their votes, nothing will. So that was an interesting number. And what the polls also showed us is that And you know that, you know, President Obama, his ratings have never been strong in Arkansas. We saw that in 2010. We saw it in 2012. And the question was, is that dislike going to be as intense in 2014? Well, it looks like it is. It doesn't look like that has waned any. So that's going to make it tough for Democrats on the ballot. And look, I don't care if you're running for constable, and if you're running as a Democrat, they're going to try to label, oh, yeah, he's running for constable under the same banner as President Obama. I mean, it's going to be that bad in the cycle.
So if you're Mike Ross or Mark Pryor or James Lee Witt, what do you do to try to attract the self-identified Democrats back to your name on the ballot?
Well, you do everything you can to run away from the national party, number one. And, you know, Mark Pryor has done that several times. He came out and was very clear with his opposition to some of Obama's policies recently. Mike Ross, running for governor, has done everything he can to associate with Mike Beebe, the popular current governor. So, and you have Ross talking about how he was one of the yellow dog, the blue dog Democrats in Congress, but conservative streak. So that's what you do. You separate yourself from the national party and find some of those conservative values that those independents in Arkansas appreciate, and you try to move toward those.
Finally, the city of Fort Smith this week decided not to pursue fines against Whirlpool.
Yes, this is, Kyle, this has been an interesting development. As a law firm out of Illinois said, hey, we figured out a way we think we can go after Whirlpool and get some money for their pollution. You remember there's a TCE, it's a cancer-causing chemical, has been found around Whirlpool's Fort Smith plant, the plant that they shuttered. And so, this firm decided that, hey, we can sue them, and they approached the board. The issue was, it's not going to cost the city of Fort Smith anything, and if we recover any money, you get a third or a certain percentage of it. What the board eventually decided, it was a 5-2 vote to not accept, not to partner with this law firm. What the board eventually decided is, look, we're concerned that it could harm existing litigation that area residents have, civil litigation against Whirlpool. We're concerned that, you know, it could cause Whirlpool to maybe act in a way with respect to that building that wouldn't be in the best long-term interest of Fort Smith. So it's been an interesting issue. It does speak to the level of frustration, maybe even animosity, that some in Fort Smith still have toward Whirlpool.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. He is traveling across northwest Arkansas this Friday. Be safe.
I will try. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you next Friday.
Uh-huh.
In about 15 minutes, good people trying to cope with bad things.
The playwright, David Lindsay Abaire, is amazing, and he writes really well and writes with a rhythm and timing, and so that helps in sort of learning, like you would music, but then in conjunction with an audience.
Theater Squared's latest production includes moments that spawn laughter and moments that create quiet discomfort. We'll hear about the play, nominated for a Tony in 2011 for Best Play, ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. In the background is the New York Standards Quartet, reinterpreting the classic composition by John Coltrane, Giant Steps. We'll hear more of their music this Friday. We'll also hear from Chucho Valdez and Wallace Roney, the Either Orchestra, Elmo Hope, and much more. Tune in this Friday for Shades of Jazz.
It is Friday, February 21st, 2014, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
You didn't have anything else you wanted to get in on this show, did you?
It depends on what you have for me. I mean, if you have something amazing,
lots of amazing.
Lots of amazing.
I have a Chinese menu worth of amazing.
I love Chinese menu.
Okay, so.
How many categories? Three?
Three. Music, theater, and everything else.
Okay. Where will we start?
Let's start with music.
Okay.
Which, you know, is not usually my first choice.
No, that's why I was kind of surprised.
But Helen Reddy is performing this weekend in the River Valley.
Oh, yes. You had a good interview.
Awesome. So awesome. Did I tell you the part of the story about how she started her career as a plant in the audience for her parents?
I don't remember if you mentioned that on the air or off the air, but you did mention it, and I thought it was an adorable story, and I think you should share it.
Her parents were in vaudeville, and so she was what they call a plant in the audience. Her dad would sing, and then he would say, is there a little boy or girl in the audience who wants to come sing with me? And she'd run right up, and they'd sing a song, and at the end he'd say, you've never seen me before, have you, little girl? And she'd say, no, Daddy, and run off into the wings.
Sure.
She said they were quite determined that both their children were going to be in show business. There was no other life as far as they were concerned. And, you know, she's back after being retired for a while and sounds great on the phone. She'll perform at 8 o'clock Saturday at the Alma Performing Arts Center, and tickets are $25 to $40 at 632-2129. Or how about the Liverpool Legends?
I don't know about this.
Also an awesome interview. They are a Beatles tribute band that was formed by George Harrison's sister Louise.
Oh.
And they're based in Branson. But they've been touring a lot. They have a Grammy nomination.
Oh, wow.
And I talked to the guy who plays George Harrison. His name is Marty Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he met Louise. It was like family at first sight. And two or three days later, he was visiting with Sir Paul McCartney.
Mm.
At which point, I asked him what he learned about Sir Paul. And he said he's shorter than I expected. It should be a lot of fun. They do the whole range of Beatles music from the early stuff to Sgt. Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 8 o'clock Saturday at the Van Buren Fine Arts Center.
Okay.
Tickets are $15 to $25 at 471-4017. And then Kevin Kinder, our music writer, suggests Robert Earl Keen,
mm-hmm.
Texas country musician and folk songwriter, who will be in Fayetteville for a Saturday night show at 9 at George's.
Okay.
Tickets are $25. And Gift of Gab, it's a rapper.
Yes.
Which means I'm completely have no idea what I'm talking about. He is a member of Black Alicious, and he was supposed to perform in October,
mm-hmm.
canceled. He'll be in Fayetteville this weekend for a 9 o'clock show Saturday at Smoke and Barrel, and that's $10 at the door.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of everything.
That is a little bit of everything.
And then we've got theater.
Okay, theater.
Holy
plenty
cow.
Of theater.
Oh, yeah.
Right in the middle of it.
Spring Awakening opens this weekend at University Theater.
It does.
And we'll talk more about that. If you remember Steven Sater, he has a Fayetteville connection. He was the writer of the lyrics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he had, of the play.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a faithful connection because he came to the Mount Sequoia New Play Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So that show is at 8 o'clock today and tomorrow and 2 o'clock Sunday at University Theater in Fayetteville. And tickets for adults are $16. Fayetteville High School is doing the Glass Menagerie.
Right.
Tennessee Williams. It's a pretty tough show.
It's one I haven't seen, heard of forever, and it's one of the ones that, you know.
It's a pretty tough show. It is not a show you will go away laughing from, but
sure.
It's beautifully written, and it will be beautifully done, I'm sure. That's mm-hmm. at 7 today and tomorrow and 2 Sunday, and tickets are $7 and $8. University Theater at UAFS is wrapping up Crimes of the Heart this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
7:30 tonight is the last night at Breedlove Auditorium, and tickets are $6. Dixie Swim Club is wrapping up their last weekend at Fort Smith Little Theater. I love the sound of this.
Are you going to make it?
I don't think so.
Aww.
It's five college friends who get together every year mm-hmm. to talk about old times and new times. And that's 7:30 today and Saturday and 2 o'clock Sunday. And tickets are $10. Good People, one of the 2010-2011 Best Play of the Season by the New York Drama Critics Circle Awards. It is a heartwarming dramedy about life in South Boston. And it is on stage at 7:30 today and tomorrow and 2 and 7 Sunday at Theater Squared in Fayetteville. Tickets start at $15. And then there's Les Mis.
Yes.
Let me tell you this about Les Mis. We put the barricade photo up as the cover photo on our Facebook page for What's Up. We had 3,000 hits on the photo.
Wow.
So the extended Rogers Little Theater family is very proud of this show.
Mm-hmm.
Showtimes are 8 o'clock today and tomorrow and 2 on Sunday, and tickets start at $17. They've done some downstairs seating that is not dinner theater.
Oh,
so
I need to look into that because I was looking at tickets the other day for the few availabilities I have, mm-hmm. and it was pretty tight.
Well, it's nice that, you know, if you have some trouble with their balcony, which is mm-hmm. a little steep. Beautiful, but a little steep. They've done some downstairs seating. So give them a call at 631-8988. And then there's everything else. A show called Leo.
Yes.
Or L-E-O.
It's Leo. I'm going tonight. I'm very excited.
Oh, cool. It's a one-man show from Berlin.
Yes, got to talk to them earlier this week, a producer and the actor.
Fun. Acrobatics, mm-hmm. animation, physical theater. Tells the story of an otherwise ordinary man whose world becomes unhinged while he's stuck in a room with nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
8 o'clock today, one show only at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. It's part of the 10x10 series, so tickets start at $10. Tomorrow is Day of Dance for Your Health. Sponsored by Washington Regional and the Walker Heart Institute, community dance groups perform all day at the Northwest Arkansas Mall.
Oh, fun.
With lots of opportunities for you to get up and dance. Hmm. And considering that I'm on a new fitness kick, yeah, I better be there. 10 to 1 Saturday, and it is free. And this is the last scheduled weekend of the Eagle Watch Tours.
Oh.
So if you've been listening to me all winter going, I wish that woman would either shut up or I should go on one of these, 3 o'clock Saturday and Sunday at Rocky Branch Marina. Call for reservations at Hobbs State Park at 789-5000.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. The second of 4 weekends of Theater Squared's production of Good People continues tonight at Nadine Baum Studio in Fayetteville. David Lindsay Hebert's script was nominated for a Tony Award for Best Play in 2011. The central characters, Margie and Mike, lead very different lives. He's a doctor. She's just been fired from her job at a discount store. But they grew up together in the tough neighborhoods of South Boston, and their connection may be far deeper than we first suspect. The play includes laugh-out-loud moments and tense scenes of quiet confrontation as the play explores identity, what it means to be successful, and secrets. This week, the two actors playing the leads in T2's production, Rebecca Harris and Sean Patrick Riley, came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio, along with Amy Herzberg, the director. I asked all three about perfecting the periods of silence, especially in the second act, when Margie and Mike are discussing their past, whether they want to or not.
And you push it until it's too long, and then you go, oh, no, that was too much, and you pull it back. I mean, some of it's a feel of it, like, because the characters are really uncomfortable. And then you wait. But, yeah, I would say that Amy pushes us to find the how long is too long and then pulls it back.
Right. And I think that what you just said, that the discomfort of the character really is reflecting the discomfort of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that I think if we get to the point where we're feeling uncomfortable, that's probably too far. Or just close
you
enough.
You want to call it just before it
yeah,
gets really
just
horrible.
Before it gets that way. But I mean, in the rest of the show too, there's the comedy aspect of it, to be in front of people is fantastic. And so to have those first, you know, counting the preview, those first 5 or 6 performances to figure out, because they're going to laugh at different things every night, but where to ride that wave and, you know, what's too long and how much am I pushing for a laugh sometimes or something like that.
And where the second wave comes of like there's a couple places where there's like a quick, like an immediate like, ha ha. And then sort of you can feel them kind of get it. And then there's like another wave of recognition. And then it's kind of like, wow. And the playwright, David Lindsay Hebert, is amazing. And he writes really well and writes with a rhythm and timing. And so that helps in sort of learning like,
right.
like you would music, but then in conjunction with an audience is a great part of the experience.
I think this is a play that certainly benefits from seeing twice, in that the first time the two of you meet, your character, you're a doctor, you're a woman from South...
I'm not.
You're not. a woman from South Boston. You knew each other as young people, and you've grown apart. you're in different strata of the economic society. But I think that first scene, when you see him again for the first time, will play completely different to a viewer the second time round.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think about that as because you've got to have different layers. Because when we first see it, we think that there's hardly any connection between you.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a connection. And when you think back to that connection, I think you guys were playing it. There was the subtext there. We just didn't know it.
Regardless of what your history is, the reality for me of running into somebody that you haven't seen in 30 years, there is going to be a certain amount of discomfort. I mean, it would be great if everybody, we haven't seen each other, and instantly you're back on the same page.
And what's interesting is that both of those things are happening for them. There's a certain formality because they haven't seen each other, but then the joking around and the kind of banter that they kind of, like, as that first scene, kind of, as they're in the same room, then they kind of like, oh, yeah, that thing.
I remember what kind of person you were.
Yeah, and so there's that natural sort of growth, I think, that happens. And so then you're seeing that little moment bubble, and then, you know, then there's more later on when they're around each other and you get more information.
Mm-hmm.
It's set in Boston. John, you're from Boston, right?
I grew up in New England and around Newport, Rhode Island for quite some time, but I lived in Boston off and on for about 6 years.
Because Boston seems like one of those places that even if you've never been, like maybe Mississippi, that there are these tropes that you just sort of assume because South Boston, Southie, through different movies or whatever, kind of has this reputation as being tough.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if with your time there, does this script get it?
Yes, it does. It's a strange place. I haven't been to Mississippi, so I can't speak to that.
I have. It too can be strange.
Yes. Boston, and in particular South Boston, Southie, and Dorchester, is still an incredibly tribal, sort of ghettoized place. And it's very closed society in a lot of ways. And my wife is of Italian descent, and they talk about like omerta or something. You know, like there's this code that you do not say certain things outside the circle of love and trust or whatever it happens to be. And one of the things about even the title of the play, Good People, is to be an Irish Catholic in Boston, good people is not only the reality of what it is to be a good person, but it is, it's a phrase that we use there to say, in like in the Italian community, you would say, oh, don't worry about him. He's paisan. He's paisan. He's part of the tribe. He's part of the group. He's part of the, we can trust him. And in Boston, in the Irish American community, we use the phrase, oh yeah, he's good people. He's the cousin of my cousin, and yeah. Don't worry about him. He'll keep his mouth shut. He's a good guy. You can talk around him. He's good people. And so there's a bunch of stuff in the play that I find delightful having lived there that I don't know that anybody else even gets. Mm. But I don't think it matters. And there's just those little things like that, or some of the more specific references to places. And but particularly that phrase, yeah, he's good people, and what that might mean and what it means in the play. And again, the brilliance of David Lindsay Aubert, I think it's a phenomenal play. I mean, the more that we've worked on it, the more delighted I am with it. And I agree with Amy. When I read it, I thought, oh, yeah, this is a good play. And then we started rehearsing it, and you really start digging into it, and you go, well, this might be close to a great play. I mean, it's a great play.
Sean Patrick Riley and Rebecca Harris are the leads in the Theater 2 production of Good People. We also heard from the play's director, Amy Herzberg. Good People by David Lindsay Hebert continues tonight through March 9th at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. Dates, times, and ticket information can be found at theater2.org. Arkansas doesn't need an official song. The state already has four. According to the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture, only three states have more. The Secretary of State's office lists the Arkansas Traveler, Arkansas, Oh Arkansas, and Arkansas, You Run Deep in Me, all as official musical representations. Still, Kat Robinson with the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism says there has been a groundswell of sorts to keep the songs coming.
We receive, on sometimes a daily basis, sometimes a weekly basis, unsolicited messages from musicians who will contact us. They say, hey, I've got a great song I wrote about the state of Arkansas. Would you like to hear it? Would you like to share it with other people?
So Robinson, the department's communications manager, has been guiding the Song for Arkansas contest since last fall. Songwriters could submit their tunes for the state beginning in November. More than 230 songs were sent in.
We had instrumental numbers. We had waltzes. We had a heavy metal piece that was very, very heavy. We had six hip-hop versions that were sent in to us. There were so many different genres represented. It was quite a task for our judges to narrow everything down.
The panel of judges included rockabilly legend and Arkansas native Sonny Burgess and other musicians and musically connected types. Now there are seven finalists, and the voting has shifted to the public. Two of the finalists are locals who've played music on our program, Candy Lee and Barrett Barber. Three others have distinct ties to the region, including Matt Noble, a teacher in the Bentonville School District.
Ready or not, here comes the sun. Another day, more work to be done. Only one thing sends my morning blues away. I think I'll hit the highway and see the fall leaves glowing on the...
Matt says he found out about the contest from a coworker who had gone to the Department of Tourism's website to find out about lodging. Matt says he had just a few days before the deadline to write his song titled Right Here in Arkansas.
I kind of set the idea aside for a few days thinking, you know, it's really cutting it close. I don't want to force anything. And then just kind of came up with the idea while I was in the shower, actually. Came up with the hook of the song, you know, the best times of my life right here in Arkansas. And the rest of it kind of came real quick after that.
Another of the seven finalists, Jeremy Huddleston, had a similar experience. He says his song, Here in Arkansas, was also written with the deadline looming.
Like I said, I've done church music my whole life and had never written anything like this. And I thought, if nothing else, as a songwriter, it'll be a fun exercise to throw something out about home. And, you know, friends back home will enjoy it and stuff, so I'll give it a shot. And was actually in the middle of it and began to search YouTube and listen to some of the other ones, and I actually had listened to every one that made the top seven and just almost backed out again because they were all so good. And decided, you know what, we'll go ahead and throw it in there and see what happens. It won't have a shot at making it, but I'll give it a try. And then lo and behold, it actually did.
Yes, ma'am. Learn to get up for work on Mondays, played hard. Jeremy, a native of Russellville, now lives in Orange County, California, but he says writing the song made him realize just how much he enjoyed his home state.
Sometimes songs take forever. You'll have an idea and push them off, and sometimes they just kind of all flow out at one time, and that's what happened with this one. I had this idea, and I kicked it around, and I sat down literally the night before the deadline, and it just kind of all happened, recorded it, sent it out, and here it is.
Voting by the public lasts through Monday. The winner will be announced on Monday, March 3rd. Voting takes place through links at the website arkansas.com. You can hear all 7 finalists at that same website. And no, the winning song will not be the 5th official song. But Kat Robinson with the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism says, don't worry, it will be heard.
This song, though, will not become a state song. It will be a song that will be promoting the natural state, and it will be used for that specific purpose.
This is Ozarks at Large.
Trying to figure out who you are isn't always easy.
We fight for identity, sometimes we kill for identity, but why is that?
As long as you experience your condition as an identity, it's the source of your freedom.
I would say that my home is where I find my identity, which is an ongoing phenomenon.
The journey to understanding identity on the next TED Radio Hour from NPR.
That's Sunday at noon on 91.3 FM.
Even if you haven't seen the new trio, the Tritones, play yet, you may be familiar with the 3 musicians who have formed the new jazz combo. Ben Harris has been playing guitar with several bands for several years in the area. Adams Collins has played vibes with his own band and others. And Drew Packard has been a bass player for jazz, bluegrass, and other musical ensembles all over Northwest Arkansas. This week, Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz program, asked the new trio to come to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Robert asked Ben Harris what he hoped the trio would be able to do now that they formed a band.
Just to play as much as possible anywhere that they'll pay us and let us play.
I mean, besides that.
I'm just really excited about developing the music and the sound of the group. You know, it's something that I plan on being around for a while, as I'm assuming these guys do, but it's kind of like planting a seed and hoping that we can continue to write songs and have weekly rehearsals and really grow up a band and work on compositional techniques and even improvisational techniques and really try and make it one solid unit. And, you know, hopefully we'll get lots of opportunities to perform. And, you know, that's kind of down the road. For me right now, it's more just helping get its legs underneath it, and then starting to look for venues, you know, maybe try and do some festivals or see how it grows up and what it turns out to be.
You know, it's funny how there's a lot of us around here that play jazz, that do gigs together, but there's not a lot of bands. So it's exciting, I think, for us to be able to have a concept that we're working to develop with the same group of players rather than just, you know, playing gigs with whoever's available that night.
And playing out of the real book.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be able to have a concept in mind and really work on developing it over time.
I played a couple restaurant gigs with Ben in the last year, and I've been wanting to write some new music. And I had this idea of a drummerless trio with 3 percussion instruments, but not drums. You know, I view the bass and guitar as percussive instruments as well, and try and write some music that feels like a drum set but has melodic elements in it. And I proposed it to Ben, and he was really excited. And of course, you know, Drew's the go-to, and that's how it started.
I think there's no one more excited than the drummers in town that heard about this. Well, Adams, you have been a mainstay in the scene here for a long time, going back to you grew up here. And I think the first time I came in contact with you was with Minkus Finkus, which was an interesting sort of groundbreaking band back in the day. But you're now playing with a variety of different groups. You're playing with a bluegrass group, Cuddy Rye, and you've kind of got a trio that's had several incarnations. And you're also teaching, again, at Ramey School, right?
That's true.
Ben, you came on the scene here. How long has it been now? When did you move to Fayetteville? About 4 or 5 years ago?
No, it was in 2006.
More than
I think.
That.
Yeah, so about 7 years now.
And you've been one of the driving forces behind the Fayetteville Jazz Collective, not to mention a variety of other ensembles. You're also teaching now at NWAC and at the University of Arkansas.
Right, that's right.
So had you played much with Adams before these restaurant gigs that helped inspire this?
Occasionally. We played together on some jam sessions several years ago, and then didn't see him for a while, and then I guess he left town for a little bit, and then when he came back, he said he was focusing mostly on the banjo, and I thought, well, that's the end of that guy, because how do you come back from something like that? But he did.
He was going to change his name to Bella also.
Right. So he got back onto the vibes, and we started playing together a little bit. Jam sessions, when we used to do them at Scarpino's, we played together a couple times then, and then hooked up a couple of times on some restaurant gigs at Mermaids and just had a lot of fun playing.
Drew, you're holding down the bass with this group, and you're probably one of the workingest guys in town, being a double threat, not only as a bassist, but also as a guitarist, which was really your first instrument, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely started on guitar.
But I know you're keeping busy with One Ounce Jig and, of course, with Claudia Burson's trio, and you're also a member of the Fayetteville Jazz Collective.
Yep, sure am.
So what are the challenges that this group brings to the table in terms of, I would think, rhythmically, obviously, without a drummer, it maybe puts a little more of a burden on you?
I wouldn't say it's a burden, but it definitely does depend on the bass to keep the pace and, you know, try not to drop the ball and lose the rhythm, so to speak, since there isn't a drummer. But, yeah, it's so much fun to get to try to do that because it's a different approach, and it's not something I do regularly, so it's a blast.
Ben, why don't you set up this first tune for us?
This first song is called Step to the Side, and this is something that I wrote a while back that kind of has the guitar featured on the melody. It actually kind of draws from some of the sounds that you normally hear in the big band with sort of the back and forth among instruments, the way the melody is sometimes divided up among different instruments in the group rather than just one instrument playing melody and one instrument playing harmony. It's kind of spread around to different members of the group.
So was this written with this group in mind?
Actually not. This is a tune I've had for a little while that I haven't quite found a home for until just now. Nobody else liked it, basically.
1, 2, 3. Thank you.
That was Step to the Side, written by Ben Harris. Very nice, guys.
Thank you.
So the group has been rehearsing now for a short period of time and gelling, I guess you could say. And there's even some imminent gigs coming up, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be playing at 28 Springs in Siloam Springs about once a month, starting with March 20th is the first date.
Well, it seems like a really flexible and versatile group that could do a lot of things, whether it be in a club or center stage or... So that's pretty exciting. Adams, this next song is Children's Song. It's one you wrote. What can you tell me about it?
Well, I was using the Chick Corea compositions, the Children's Song series, as a precedent. And as a vibraphone player, I listened to those recordings with Gary Burton, and I really liked how they were sectional and that they would have very open sections that were kind of groove-oriented, but then there would also be sections that were two or three parts, kind of like chamber jazz, which is one of the ideas that I had for the group. And this was one of the first tunes I wrote specifically with this ensemble in mind. So I just tried to kind of emulate that song form and then just put my own melodies and harmony into it.
Children's Song by Adams Collins. Drew Packard on bass, Adams Collins on the vibraphone, Ben Harris on guitar. I want to thank all three of you guys for coming up. It's very exciting, and hopefully, if all goes well, we'll be able to hear you, if not at one of the gigs that you're talking about, we'll be able to track you on Facebook, the Tritones. Two words, one word?
I think what two or words hyphenated. And a hyphen.
Okay, yeah. Two words and a hyphen. Yeah. Boy, yeah. That's you got to pay extra for that.
Yeah, we hadn't even talked about how to spell it.
We'll have to
yet.
Vote on that later. But,
and I can hear this group definitely playing at the Composer Showcase for the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series.
Oh, yeah.
The tritones are Ben Harris guitar, Drew Packard bass, and Adams Collins vibes. They talk to Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF Shades of Jazz program this week inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You can hear Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night beginning at 10 on KUAF. You'll be able to hear the band at 28 Springs in Siloam Springs March 20th and about once a month there after that. And finally, you can hear one more song from their session with Robert Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend Ozarks at Large on KUAF.
Stravinsky completed his Symphony No. 1 in the summer of 1907. It's very much a formative piece. Hi, I'm Katie Hendrickson, host of the KUAF Sunday Symphony Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Join me this Sunday for Stravinsky's first symphony from the St. Petersburg Philharmonic Orchestra led by Vladimir Ashkenazy. That's coming up 7 to 9 Sunday night right here on KUAF. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, St. Paul.
Any plans for the weekend?
Tonight I'm going to the Walton Arts Center to see Leo. I'm very excited about that.
Do you know what you'll see?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yes. When I interviewed them, you know, I did some research ahead of time and then I talked to them while they were here. But you see the actor in this room that kind of looks like a box, you know, because mm-hmm. it has the walls. But then next to it, there's a screen that projects it so that it looks, you know, like gravity is being defied, you know, cool. that he's going the different way. So you'll see both.
Sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm really excited about that. Tomorrow morning, I will continue teaching local high school kids how to write for a newspaper at the Lemke Journalism Project and then spend the rest of the day celebrating a birthday. Good friend of mine, Mike. Happy birthday, Mike. And Sunday, I will go to Soup Sunday, the annual fundraiser for the Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. That's always a fun one. It's at the Springdale Convention Center.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, the Northwest Arkansas Convention
right,
Center in Springdale.
At the Holiday Inn.
In Springdale. Yes, it's all connected. It's that big thing right there by 540. Follow the people with the muffin tins walking into that building. There will be lots of soup.
And lots of kids and just mm-hmm. a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's always a fun one. So I will be overindulging in lots of food this weekend, essentially, is what I'm going to be doing. So next week when you ask me, I'll probably tell you I'm working out a lot.
That's a nice balance.
You know.
And there's baseball in town this week.
Exactly. So
highs of 66 tomorrow. Perfect baseball weather.
Perfect.
Christina and I will be back Sunday morning at 9 with Weekend Ozarks at Large. Then she has the Monday edition of Ozarks at Large at noon all by herself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Be safe this weekend, and thanks so much for listening. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.